welcome to another episode of the Menswear Style Podcast. I'm your host, Pete Brooker, and today on the show, I am talking to the co-founder at La Paz Clothing, Jose Abrea. La Paz Clothing was created in 2011 and is a heritage label of menswear inspired by the classic staples in a gentleman's wardrobe. La Paz is for the man who embraces life, whether he is fishing, hunting, walking through an exotic land, or simply taking a stroll through his city. And here to tell us more about La Paz Clothing is the co-founder, Jose Abrea.
We started this project in, it's me and Andre, my business partner. We started this project in 2011. Our main idea at that time was to distribute some brands, in fact, here in Portugal. But the economy was very low, and we had some contacts in some factories nearby, and we were both passionate about clothing, so we started putting a collection together to see, how it would look, you know.
And how do you go about starting to put a collection together? Are you designers?
We don't have a design background, so we've been helped by a friend who is a designer, but mainly with the production and in the factories, you know. So we started designing some pieces we like, so, and we went to the factories and we started developing some prototypes over there. And so the main collection, the first collection was supposed to be a summer collection, didn't happen. So because it was like slow and we're still testing the prototypes and stuff. And but then we managed to put a small collection of around 30 pieces together. And so we the first show we did was in New York, man-woman show, and we started with a winter collection here.
Jose, I'm just going to throw up a couple of pictures of the brand just that I pulled from the website. Perhaps you can just, for those that can't see on the YouTube that will be listening to the podcast, you can maybe just describe the designs to us or the philosophy of the brand. What can people expect from the brand when they log onto the site to see the clothes?
In fact, in terms of design, La Paz is pretty standard and pretty classic, I would say. But our main work is to explore and then do a lot of I don't know. We go to the, is a lot about fabrics and textures. You know, that's our main describe this. Most of the work we do is probably trying to find new mixes, new textures, new fabrics, and so. And I think it reflects a lot in our collection. Of course, we have a basic part of it, like the t-shirts and sweatshirts. But I think it's very important to touch the materials, in fact, because that's where we invest most of our time and research.
And when you started out putting the collection together, what, in the back of your mind, what did you want the brand to look like? Were you pulling inspiration from your childhood, from your friends, from films?
Yeah. I mean, there's so many amazing brands in the world, in the market, that we wanted to have like we really wanted to do a Portuguese brand, you know. And our main inspiration is the Atlantic and the sea, but that's for a specific reason, is because me and Andrea, we surf since we are kids, and we live outdoor a lot. And there's this people wears this specific clothing, you know, like the flannel shirts, the workwear, very linked, of course, to the fish, but the fishing, but all also to the sailing and all this atmosphere you live and you know if you live by the ocean as we do. Right. So we wanted to translate that a little bit to the market, you know.
I mean, when people start off a brand, typically they start with quite a limited run or maybe a very fine selection, two or three different garments, just to test the marketplace. You've launched about 30 garments. So was it always the idea to be quite ambitious with this from the start?
Not really, but we started from the basis of some pieces we liked, and we were working mainly around vintage pieces, and some from our own family wardrobes, from our grandparents and stuff, and so we wanted to give like a contemporary touch to them. So we started by searching for the fabrics, but then we found out that we had a very ambitious collection of fabrics. So when we started turning them into specific pieces, we managed to have like a slightly bigger collection than we were supposed to at the beginning. And in fact, it went well because it was a very, for a first collection, it was very versatile, and we got some good customers with, and we didn't have much money, of course. It was all, you know, mostly Andre. He had some money on the side.
Good old Andre.
and so we started from next to zero, and with the travelings to New York, Paris, London, which was the shows we did on the first season. But it went really well. We got some nice customers from the beginning, and it helped us to keep going until now.
I see. So it sounds like a very nostalgic opening to the brand. You're taking clothes that your grandfather might have worn, taking those to the factory and saying, I really like the fabric and the texture of this. Let's work with this and do a line of something. Is that, were those the conversations you were having with the factories?
Yeah, pretty much. But we were working two different fronts. One was the factory, the fabric factories. Yeah. And so we went to the mountains of Serra da Estrela, which is the highest point of Portugal.
And that's where they filmed On Her Majesty's Secret Service with George Lazenby and James Bond.
I'm not sure, to be honest with you.
Oh, it is. Yeah, it's okay. I know. That's where the casino is. Sorry, carry on.
No, but they have a very long tradition of working with wool over there, and there's this couple from Lisbon who went there because it were like centenary factories around that area, and they were all abandoned and during the, you know, financial crisis. But during the 80s, they went bankrupt, but they managed to buy the looms for two or three different factories and fix them and create a new factory, and they managed to adapt those looms to, which are amazing. They're like, you know, old trains. It's amazing how they work and the specificity of the fabrics they can do with that, you know, very, very old school. But apart from that, they put together an archive of fabrics with 100 years old, you know, which were like for 2 years on the rain and outside. So they put all that archive together, where you can see like amazing stuff, like all kind of patterns, but the textures also, and it's very, very rich and inspiring archive they have there. So we started from that, developed some fabrics there. And it's amazing because when you see like old pictures, like from the 40s or the 30s, you tend to imagine that people would, you know, dress in a very boring way because all the pictures you see is mostly black and white.
Right. Yeah.
But you realize like the amazing colors that they were wearing, like, you know, electric blues and yellows and stuff. And in fact, our first collection really translated a little bit of that approach they had in the past. You know, people say, "Wow, what a funky color!" But in fact, we were just replicating like
very, that's fascinating,
very old. Yeah,
Oh, that's good. It's a shame for all of the people in the 30s and 40s. The photos were literally not doing them justice because they couldn't show how great the colors were that they were wearing. That brings me on to the website that I had a nose around. And I got to say, I fell in love with the website because I like websites that go where you want them to go. So you kind of navigate and you don't get lost down wormholes or rabbit holes. And it's not all bricka-blocker. It does feel like there's been a little bit of love and care gone into it. And you also have different varieties of models, like old models, seasoned veterans, I'd like to say, modeling these clothes, making it look great for anybody of any age to wear them. Was that must have been purposeful, right? That must have been by design.
Yeah, that's our main idea. We wanted the brand to be very transversal in terms of final public. You know, we really wanted to, like, 18-year-old kid to wear it, but also a 80-year-old look good and be proud and have some choice of pieces to wear, which happens and that makes us really happen. Sometimes we manage to see like people with 80, 70, 80, 90 years old buying like a proper Shetland jumper or like the pleated trousers. People like they like to dress properly, but they maybe they're British or something, but they don't expect to see something in a shop like our shops, you know, and that's really
right,
really, really good to us, you know.
What's the mood in your shop, Jose? So you do have bricks and mortar as well. It's not just online. Does the shop reflect what you might see online as well? Is there like a through line that connects the bricks and mortar?
The shop is the first shop we opened. It's here in Ribeira in Porto downtown by the river, and it's a centenary pharmacy, so an old pharmacy. And we managed to keep it exactly as it was, but also with some elements inside. We hired this fisherman from a little fisherman village next to Porto to do the wardrobes with the fishing techniques, with the nets and stuff. So they did like the iron structure, like they do the
jumpers.
Iron
structures.
Yeah. Like to catch the fish. Yeah.
So yeah. The net. Yeah.
They put these cages like under, so they are very similar, the wardrobes they did by hand and stuff. So the layers we have, it's very funky. It's a mix of a fish market with all the fabrics and the textures. It makes a very special, I think, shopping experience.
Is that where you work?
Yeah, no, we have an office too. Mm-hmm. That at the beginning we were working there. It was our first office,
right?
But then it was such a beautiful place that we thought it would make sense to open to the public,
right?
And which we did, but we were still working there at the same time, which was little bit confused at the beginning because people would go there. We were working on our computers. People would look at us and say, oh, is this a shop? It said, hey, you should please come in. And so we decided at some point to make it a shop only. And so we moved the office to another place. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, now it's only a shop.
And the plan is to have some more shops, maybe internationally?
Yeah, we have another one in Lisbon. Yeah, mm-hmm. We have another one in Lisbon. And we are opening a new one in shop here in Porto, but by the ocean. Yeah, and our in the near future, our plans is to open one or two more shops, but abroad. Yeah.
And Jose, question for you, just off the top of my head, just thought about this. I've had quite a few founders and designers on the podcast before, and I find a lot of their brands make their clothes out of the factories in Portugal, whether it's shoes or whether it's loungewear, Riviera wear.
Yeah.
Have you found that the factories are getting inundated or maybe saturated? Perhaps there's a lot of people, not just in Portugal, looking to get clothes made there, but outside of Portugal as well.
I wouldn't say saturated, but because there are a lot of shops, new factories opening, which is good. It's good for the economy and for the industry, which was really rich like during the 80s. Mm-hmm. But during the late 80s and the 90s, it all went in a pretty bad way. But the tradition was there. So people started returning from the East and Northern Africa and stuff back to Portugal because it's easy to travel here first. And then, if you live in England or in France or whatever, Italy, it's very easy to, it's 2 hours in a plane, so it's easy. Uh-huh. And then pretty much everybody speaks English, like the approach, commercial approach is very good and easy. So all of a sudden it started growing again, of course, the commercial area with people like from new generations and returning to Portugal speaking English and French properly. So I think it helped. It helped a lot, yeah.
Right. Well, that's interesting, yeah, because it's pretty much every other designer that comes on the show will talk about the factories over there. So it does feel like it's the hub of, especially startup brands. Maybe the factories can do limited runs or perhaps smaller runs for cheaper than they can do over here in the UK.
No, actually, there's a lot of big brands, like more luxury brands working here. But they do some parts of their collection. Like, for instance, they don't do all the jersey, but they do like sections of their jersey collection.
Like Sunspell would do a collection over there and then some stuff over here as well.
Sunspell, Universal Works, YMC, there's so many,
all of
your legacy.
All of your competitors.
Yeah, and friends, most of them.
Yeah.
Competitors and friends, yeah.
And so have we got any plans to expand La Paz clothing over to here in the UK, Jose? Maybe concessions in Selfridges, John Lewis? Have you got plans for any bricks and mortar here?
We are currently working with John Lewis and Mr. Porter and other big players, but our main focus is we have a great agent for the UK, which is Brand Progression, and besides being a friend, it's someone, Mark Batiste, is someone I know for 20 years now. And he helped us a lot in the beginning because when we started the collection, the first collection, we didn't have nothing to show to the trade shows, So they would ask, "Do you have a lookbook? Do you have something?" And when we didn't, so I contact Mark and said, "I know you guys have good taste, so you are more than welcome to come." He was organizing Jacket Required at the time. It would be like the first season of Jacket Required. And so he invited us and we went in. And then like a few seasons after, he became our agent. And I don't know if you know him, but he's a very, very, collection and a lovely Mark Batista. Mm-hmm. And he had some projects, some retail projects like Number Six and stuff. So he was really helpful in the, he's like, I would say our godfather in the UK, that's for sure. And so we are in very good hands. The business is growing and I think in very good shops and projects. But the thing is, we started with independent shops. And we are no rush of growing or not much expectations in turning La Paz in a big business, because me and Andre, we love what we do, and we really want to keep doing this in a slow pace, you know, like that's what we like to do in our daily basis. So, and I think the independent retailers are the ones who can keep this real, like in a very palpable way. Of course, I mean, this is a business, and we need to grow up and but we always ask them first what do they think, and if it will eventually affect their own business. We have now independent retailers who are working with us for many years, for some of them 8-10 years. But at the end, I think the British chains with whom we are working with are really respectful of that spirit, and they don't explore the brand in a bad way. So I think we are doing it right, to be honest with you.
You're taking your time, and you're making sure that, I guess, the product's good, looking good, and everything's coming from a genuine place, rather than looking to cookie cutter stuff and making a quick buck.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah,
I would say. I mean, so I used to work in an independent fashion store, and what I'd really like would be the upcoming brands that perhaps people hadn't heard of. I mean, I'm not saying you're up and coming. You've got a few shops everywhere now, so you're pretty well on your way. But I would always like telling somebody or a customer a little nugget about the brand, like a little something that would inspire them to buy the piece, maybe a story from the journey of the founders, like why they founded the brand, or the relationship between the friends. So like between you and Andre, what would you what would the pitch be, I suppose, if I was to say, look, oh, you got to try La Paz clothing?
Me and Andre, we are friends for many years. In fact, my father was a good friend of Andre's mother, so we know each other for a long time. We never had plans to do something together, because Andrea was working. Andrea's mother had a distribution company here in Porto, mostly of Italian brands. And Andrea had a shop, and I had a shop before too.
Right. Okay.
But we both like clothes and everything around that, but. All of a sudden, I was working more in advertising. I worked 6 years on the National Theater here in the communications area. And Andre was working his mother's company too. But all of a sudden, we felt like I felt like having a new project would be interesting apart from the advertising and the communications. Andre wanted to give a different shift to his shop, because he had a shop in here in Porto, but he was living in London. So we wanted to do like something different with the shop, and that's when we started to think about distributing some other brands here. And as I told you in the beginning, so the economy was really low, and we said, well, let's try to do it the other way around. I mean, we like this. Let's try to put the collection together with the things we like, and we would wear, and but something transversal, like something like anyone can use, you know, like not that much into fashion, but more into clothing. It was our main idea. So the idea of that model that you were showing me on the website was pretty much to pass that idea through that message, you know.
Gotcha.
If this guy is 73 years old now, if he can wear this and look cool on this, I mean,
that's the old
ones, like,
yeah, you know? Well, and, that's a great key message to have, because I mean, I would often have older gentlemen come into the shop and just say, oh, this looks far too young for me, and then they would perhaps moonwalk out of my shop. But having some pictures of older gentlemen wearing this clothes as well as younger gentlemen would convince them. It's almost like they have the trust then, you know, they feel like they're not taking a chance.
And it's our model for since we started. We are working with him in all the he sells fish nets on the street markets, and he's a very humble and nice guy. But working with us since the very beginning, and people now recognize him in the city. In fact, Mario Testino did an editorial shooting with Gigi Hadid, and the production call us to see if they could include this guy because he
that's terrific.
Such a strong face and character that, you know.
Well, I mean,
which they did.
That's fantastic. Well, you got to head over to the website. Give the website a shout out, please, Jose. Where can people find you?
The website is lapaz.pt, and our Instagram is lapazdiary.
Lapaz Diary, and we'll put all the links over on the show notes over at Menswear Style as well, so people can find out where to go. But thanks for joining us, Jose. Really enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you so much for the invitation.
Thank you. Thank you for walking us through the brand. Best of luck. I'm in love with the clothes. I'm in love with the website. So we'll certainly want to pop in next time I'm in your neck of the woods. But until next time. You've been listening to the Menswear Style podcast. Be sure to head over to menswearstyle.co.uk for more menswear content, and email info@menswearstyle.co.uk if you'd like to be a future guest on the show. Finally, please help support the show by leaving a review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to this podcast. Until next time.